Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Celtic Now and for our podcast. My name is Ryan Clifford. Well, this is a new era for Celtic. Andrew Postecoglou has signed as a manager. A lot of rumours been passing the last few weeks. Joining me this week is Robert, starting off with. Robert, it's finally announced that it's happened. How did it happen? Now we've got the big Ange, so I'm looking forward to this new year starting to kick off now, mate.
Definitely, Ryan. It's been a long way, hasn't it? I think it was about 105 days at the end. We just needed a bit of closure on the manager front, and now Angelo Postecoglou is the manager. We need to back him as supporters. We need to back him as a board, and hopefully it's kicking on a new era and a new style of football and some exciting times back with some exciting signings. Let's hopefully. The 10's gone now. We can move on for it. Let's just see a new era and a fresh start for everybody, I'd say, after the disaster of last season.
I think that's the thing, mate. It's a new era, a new start. And this season could be, I'm not saying bigger than the 10, but financially, it's quite a must. And we've got a special guest on the podcast this week. We've got Harper, who is on our Where Do We Begin podcast in Australia. He's going to fill us in on, obviously, Ange. He's basically all about him because we don't know much about him back here in Glasgow. Harper, how's things, mate? I know you've got your own podcast, so how's things back in Melbourne?
Oh, yeah. It's great to be with you guys. It's our first Saturday evening out of lockdown here in Melbourne. But honestly, nowhere I'd rather be than your podcast. It's a pleasure to be on. You guys, you run a great show. I've listened to a few bits here and there. And yeah, it's really an honour and a pleasure to be on. I'm looking forward to filling you in about Big Ange, as you Scots say.
Oh, I really appreciate it, mate. Thanks a lot. Big Ange, Robert, as Harper says, which obviously we've had a lot of rumours about him, and people have said he's a nobody, and I think a lot of people are coming out now and saying he's not a nobody, he's actually very experienced and blah blah blah. He's done a lot of stuff back in Australia and in Japan and stuff. So what was your first kind of, obviously your first thing is it's a gamble, Robert, but every management is a gamble. So what's your first instincts about the new manager?
To be honest, Ryan, I didn't know much about him. When the rumours started, the first thing I done was got up slightly earlier than I normally got up for work. And just started trolling the internet and YouTube and looking at journalists and ex-players. And I just, before I join anybody now, you've got to know information on these people. I feel, as you could say, British, Scottish people, if you don't know somebody, we've got this arrogance as in, or they're a nobody, they're a dumpling, they're hopeless. I just feel you've got to broaden your horizons on stuff like this. You've got to give the guy a chance before you judge him. I mean, from what I've read on him and what I've seen on him, he's a success everywhere he's went. Whether he gets that time to implement that at Celtic, maybe a different... He's got to hit the ground running at Celtic. It's a completely different kettle of fish when it comes to managing. Celtic is 24-7. If you have no anything about Celtic, you don't know anything, you just need to look at ex-managers and players that tell you it's hectic. It's a completely different lifestyle, and the fans demand success from the first whistle. It's how he handles that sort of stuff, because as a manager, he seems to have got time at places. He seems to have been a success, but will he get that time at Celtic, or will he get it quickly off the mark? But that's all got to do with what players he can get in, what system, what players can buy into his system and style of play. He seems to play a high intensity, winning the ball back football, kind of a, similar to Liverpool, because that's what he was saying on some of his interviews and stuff. And he says he likes to rotate the front three because that's where a lot of injuries and stuff happen. So what I've read on him and what I've seen on him and what I've heard about him, I'm really excited because it's completely out of the box for Celtic. It's different, obviously, with the disaster that happened with Howe, but for me, Howe just didn't fancy it. He looked at it and thought, too much pressure, can he handle it? And obviously a lot of other things happen behind the scenes that we'll never know about, but if you really wanted a job, you can sort these things out, and I don't think he was up for it. As we call him, Big Ange, he's taking it, and he's striding, saying, aye, I'll take the challenge, give me it. And that's what I want. I want somebody that wants to be at Celtic and take the challenge. And I'm excited for what the guy could do because it's completely different. And the way his style of football is, to me, feels like that's the Celtic I want. I want to be going out in high pressing and high intensity and in people's faces. I feel we've lacked aggression under Neil Lennon. I feel we sat our players too much and gave them too much respect, whether it be Europe, whether it be the Glasgow derbies. I want players in there that's not giving anybody a minute's rest. That's what I want, and that's what I think this guy could bring to us. Whether he gets the time and money and effort to do that, it's a different kettle of fish, isn't it?
Well, as you were saying, talk about obviously Eddie Howe. Simon Jordan was on an English station, Harper, Talk Sport. I don't know if you've heard it. And he was basically saying that Eddie Howard was a coward. Eddie Howe was a coward. That he's basically no fancy that, as Robert says. It's a massive opportunity considering where they are at the moment. It's a rebuilding job. And as Robert says about the Glasgow Goldfish, it's hectic, it's 24-7. It's not like your studio job where it's maybe every few weeks, every few months, and basically he's going to get absolutely antagonised everywhere he goes. It's a massive, massive job here in Glasgow. Do you think that's something he could take any stride and handle, no bother?
Look, this guy, Ange, he is, I feel like it's a huge club, obviously one of the biggest clubs in the world, massively supported club here in Australia as well. But this job is almost the perfect job for him, I'd say. This guy is built as a manager to thrive off pressure and to thrive off doubt and hate even from, like he's had from Celtic fans. Like, I've hardly heard a single Celtic fan that's been kind of optimistic about this appointment. But at almost every club he's been at, Ange Postecoglou has been under pressure from the start, but he's built off that and developed a, I don't know if you can call it an empire, but he's developed amazing football teams everywhere he's gone, really. And there was a time in the mid-2000s, Australia had an old league before the A-League called the NSL, and he was a manager at that time, obviously. He was viewed as a bit of a relic of a bygone era in that NSL era. So he couldn't get a job in the A-League because he was viewed as, maybe it's too harsh, but he was viewed as a bit of a footballing dinosaur per se. But he ended up getting a job at Brisbane Roar, guided them to two titles, and pundits labelled that team Roar Salona because of the way they played. They played like Barcelona, really, and that's only half a joke. Like, if you look up YouTube clips of that Brisbane Roar team in the early 2010s, it's phenomenal the way they played. And the pressure, obviously, it is something that is just on another level at Celtic. I don't know the culture as well as you guys. I know a bit about it, but you guys are living in it. And he's not going to be used to it. Obviously, it's like nothing he's ever encountered. But I think he is built in the right way as a manager to handle this kind of pressure and thrive off it.
Because it's, as you say, he might not be used to this kind of culture and stuff. It's very hectic, Harper. It's 24-7. Your fans are always on your back. If you draw, it's a disaster. If you get beat, it's just out of the question. For me, Robert, if it doesn't start very well, as fans, because of the situation we were in and the financial gain of qualifying for Europe next season, guaranteed, they will get a bit agitated if he's not really topping the league close to Rangers by maybe Christmas. The fans will maybe say, listen, something's got to happen here. But I generally believe that the more I'm coming towards watching him on YouTube and the way he talks, he's dead relaxed. And I think I think it'd be good up here, Robert. He'll take the shite off the media by the looks of it. I don't think he'll let the media basically troll him, which I think is maybe good for Celtic, because some managers are yes men at Celtic sometimes. I don't think he looks a guy that's going to just say yes. I think he's the sort of guy that's going to come in and put his own stamp on things. And whether he says he'll get the time, I don't know if he'll get the time at Celtic, but we can only sit and wait and see.
I'm excited for it, Ryan. Just the full fact is he's different. He's going to do things his own way. I just hope that the board give him his own backroom team. I think that's a key, because there's rumours that obviously the Celtic backroom team from last season is going to be there this season, which I think, again, is tying the guy's arm behind his back if you do that. The full fact is he wants to implement his style of football, but they could be restricting that in a certain way. I hope that behind the scenes, when Howe's deal's collapsed, that Big Ange has got obviously his backroom team that he wants, and he's identified players. There's rumours as there's two Japanese players handed transfer requests in, a defensive midfielder and I'm sure there's a left back, Ryan. Who was the other one?
I did see the two, but as soon as he left, he handed transfers in.
I read it, but if he wants these type of players and he knows these type of players, then we've got to go out and give him the type of players. You know what I mean? That's the thing. The Celtic board has been accused of making signings behind managers' backs. We don't know whether that's true. We've heard all these rumours. Some snippets have said it's 100% true. Rodgers came out with a Sved deal and saying he didn't know the guy. I just hope now with Dominic Mackay and that coming in as a new chairman, he's going to obviously give the manager the reins to implement his style and implement his coaching staff, and then obviously bring the players in that he wants, because the old way last season didn't work. There's too many players that were just coming in and just making up squads numbers. There wasn't anybody coming in and getting right into the starting 11, and I think we're getting already a lot of players this season, so we're going to replace them with quality. We can't replace them with similar.
It seems, Harper, that by the way you've just started talking about him, that he seems the type of manager that can build teams from basically nothing and build them, like he says, to an empire. And I'm not saying that Celtic need a total rebuild, but they do need a bit of a shuffle and a bit of a rebuild, because last season, to Celtic standards, was a big failure. Do you think that's the type of way he is? He'll come in, he'll get the backroom staff, not just the backroom staff, for the cleaners, right up to the first team players. Do you think he'll just come in and sort it out his way?
Yeah, look, I'm not here to completely praise the guy, but that is almost exactly what I think he's going to do. Almost every job, again, that he's done, he has had that kind of situation. And when he was the Socceroos boss, he came in as manager of the Socceroos, the national team, 8 months out from the 2014 World Cup. And the Socceroos had come off the back of consecutive 6-0 losses against France and Brazil. So they were in dire, dire straits. And he basically did a bit of a cull. He got rid of legends of the Socceroos to start this rebuilding project that you might have heard of from English football, Lucas Neal and Mark Schwarzer. Those two are some of the biggest icons in national team history. Both played, Schwarzer maybe over 100 caps. Lucas Neal, I think, had 96 caps. And Lucas Neal was the captain. And he basically told them, look, guys, I'm trying to embark on this rebuilding project here. I'm trying to kind of get some fresh blood into the team, blood some younger players who will be there for this rebuilding journey. And he's done it with other teams as well, like at Melbourne Victory, the club he was at before the Socceroos. He, in his first season, he got rid of club legends for people who know anything about the A-League, Grant Brebner, Carlos Hernandez. He got rid of Harry Kuehl as well, who you would have heard of.
Yeah.
He axed them from Melbourne Victory. So he's not a guy who's afraid to make big decisions or decisions that won't be kind of viewed as the right thing to do by everyone. He's going to do what's right by him. This guy is so stubborn. It can be his downfall at times, but it's also one of his big strengths. He's not willing to change his ways at all, and he hasn't been wherever he's been, and he's absolutely not a yes man. He's far from it, the opposite of a yes man, I'd say.
I think that's would definitely suit us, Robert. As much as Harper says it can maybe be a negative effect, but for us and for me personally, we need a bit of ruthlessness. We need somebody to say, listen, you're not good enough, see you later. And I think that's under Neil Lennon. As much as we wanted to keep our best players, even though they didn't want to be there, because we thought that they'd become good in the end, it didn't happen. And I think if that is the case with Big Ange, we're calling him, he comes in and just says, listen, then Cham, you're away. Barkash, whoever it is, Ayeti, whoever it is, you're not good enough, see you later. And I think that's what we need. Just a bit of somebody to come in and say, listen, see you later, let's get this rebuild started. And I think he seems to be, to me, Robert, that character who maybe could do that for us.
We've needed somebody with a ruthlessness, Ryan, to come in and just rewrite the script, should we say, tear it up and say, no, you're comfortable, you've been here 6 years. Just say, for instance, I'm not picking in Beaton, right? I'm just saying somebody like him. You've been here 6 years. In my opinion, you're no good enough.
Right, go. Start with Gordon. Big Ange Harper. He's come in now, and obviously a lot of former pundits and players have been talking about him. Obviously, for me, he is a massive rebuild to come in. But if they're saying good things about him, like Paul McStay, who obviously a lot of Celtic fans have heard of, is a legend here. He's been speaking about him. So for me, it's only going to bode well for him to come in, because if he's saying good things about him, then he must be a top coach.
Yeah, honestly, I could hardly name someone. There are a couple of pundits that have gotten his bad side a bit and aren't the biggest fans of him here in Australia. But other than that, he's basically universally adored here in Australia by players and fans and staff and the football community as a whole, really. And like you said, you hardly hear a player saying a bad word about him, which can only be a good sign, really. The only way I could see a player not like him is his ways are so extreme, his philosophy is so extreme of he wants this super fit, finely tuned athlete who works hard and plays his style. So if a player doesn't want to commit to that style and doesn't agree with Ange being the stubborn guy he is, there could be a bit of a potential for a bit of a falling out there. And obviously, like I said before, he's willing to cut legends of the club and stalwarts, so that people could get him on his bad side that way as well. But other than that, universally adored, pretty much.
I think that's interesting you say that, because as Robert says earlier, that back here we don't know much about him. But for me, Robert, if obviously a lot of former players are going to always speak highly of managers if they've been successful under, but a lot are coming out now, the woodwork, and saying how good he is, and he's like tactics, he's attacking pronouns. And for me, Robert, that's only going to be well for us, because that is the Celtic way of playing football, the attacking style, scoring goals. If you score 7, you'll score 8. And I think that's, for me, that's where I want to see my teams play.
Definitely, Ryan. Just high intensity attacking football and smothering teams type of thing is a new way of these teams are, the big European teams like to attack teams. I just like to see that. The only thing I'm a bit worried about them is if we get into Europe and we play, see, like a bigger team, he doesn't have that style when to sit back, kind of like Brendan Rodgers was in Europe for his run. I don't know how that fair. Like, Brendan Rodgers tried to go toe-to-toe. Harper with Barcelona and PSG, and I'm like, right, we're Celtic. We've got a budget a quarter the size of their youth teams. What's going on here? And sometimes as a manager, you've got to have the tactics to know when to attack, know when to sit. I don't know how he would be on that side. Is he just all-out attack Harper, or is he kind of a shrewd in how he does it?
Being the stubborn guy he is, he's never changing from his attacking ways, no matter the situation, no matter the context, really. We're chatting off-air about him taking the Socceroos to a World Cup 8 months after he was appointed. This is a very, very average Socceroos side, even by Australian standards, mind you. And the Socceroos took the game up to the Netherlands. We were beating the Netherlands and dominated, well, not dominated possession, but had more possession than the Netherlands, who were the reigning runners-up from the World Cup before. And, I'm not sure if you've seen the Tim Cahill goal from that 2014 World Cup, that amazing goal that I'm sure lots of people are familiar with against that the Netherlands in that same game. But the context around that goal, people might not necessarily know this, but Arjen Robben for the Netherlands had scored 30 seconds prior. And straight from the kickoff, basically, it got fed out to the right-hand side, the right-back, who was Ryan McGowan, you might be familiar with. He's played in Scotland a bit, Ryan McGowan. Ryan McGowan sent a looping ball from inside his own half to just inside the box, where Tim Cahill scored that memorable volley. So it's attack from the kickoff, attack at all costs. You'll be taking the game up to, or trying to take the game up to Bayern Munich and PSG and Liverpool and all the big teams. There's no doubt about that. And I guess what I would say is that when Brendan Rodgers was in charge, you said he employed a bit of a defensive style of football in Europe, which
he was too attack-minded.
Oh, he didn't. Okay. He was too attack-minded. Okay. Right. Yeah. Well, I say that at times, yeah, the stubbornness can be his downfall, but it can sometimes, that the risk can sometimes pay off, because this attack-minded football has got him far, and it's got him to where he is now at this massive club, Celtic, the biggest move in Australian managerial history. So if it wasn't for him being the way he is, he wouldn't be in this position. So I think the board has employed him for a reason. They know what they're going to get with this guy.
Yeah. Because it says, obviously, Peter Lowell says that they've tracked him for a while, right? I personally don't believe that, Robert. I just think it's a smoke screen, because if they tracked him for a while, why was he not employed when Rodgers left, if this was the guy that they wanted? Do you know what I mean? Again, we don't know what goes behind the scenes. But Harper, seeing it comes to, obviously, Australia. Obviously, I don't know much about Australian football, but I know that he took over a very average team, and he got him into a kind of winning mentality again and kind of doing well for the country. Do you think he could kind of do that with Celtic? Celtic have had a winning mentality. It's to kind of lowered a wee bit this season, but do you think he can install that back to the team again?
Certainly. Wherever he's gone, he's won trophies. Sometimes it's taken him a while, which is the big risk, really, if him at Celtic, because it's win at all costs, win every season or you're gone, basically. That's the mentality that the board is most likely going to have. But I think this guy's got big ambitions wherever he's been. He wanted to, when he first took the Socceroos job, he was talking about, this might seem, he said it might seem unrealistic to people, but he said he wants to win the Socceroos World Cup. Mm-hmm. So I guarantee you that he thought we've already crossed his mind about how he can win Celtic trophies in Europe. Winning the Scottish League for Celtic, obviously it's not something that's happened every season like this season just gone. It's something that has been disappointing. But winning the title is easy in comparison to winning a Europa League or winning a Champions League. But I've got no doubt that he would have been hatching a plan on how to bring it up to these big teams in Europe. You've got history in Europe 54 years ago, winning that famous European Cup, of course. And he's going to have big ambitions and big dreams to achieve something like that again, however unrealistic it might sound.
No, I think, Robert, that's something that we want again. Is obviously a challenge in Europe, because we have been disappointed in Europe, even under Rodgers. I know he qualified, Robert, but as you say, he went toe-to-toe with PSG, playing two wingers in the new camp and whatever else, and that's something that you can't do, because we're not going to win against these teams. You need to just try and get a goal and sit in. If you do get beat 3-4-1, you take it. But I like that idea, Harper. So for me, Robert, if that's the way he's going to come in and try and make his bet in Europe, it's only going to help us in the future.
Most times in Europe, Ryan, we should be attacking teams, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. It's only the elite that you go, well, we need to watch because these teams have got absolute superstars that can break you open in settings. But it's just, this is the thing, Harper. What sort of budget has he worked on at these teams? Has he always had very, very minimum to spend? Or when he goes to sell it, we'll have this big transfer budget that might suit his style and we might go, right, I can attract better players and better quality of players. Has he always had to work on budgets at these teams?
He's been in salary capped leagues wherever he's gone. The A-League is a salary capped league. I believe the J-League is a salary capped league as well. So he's working on, yes, a budget, really, when it comes down to it, because if you spend over the salary cap, you're disqualified, basically. So he's always had these limits on him. I think being at a club like Celtic, or a club of which he's never managed anything close to the size of Celtic worldwide and just within the country even, but it's really hard to know how adept he's going to be at making signings for a huge, giant European club like Celtic is, because quite simply, he hasn't had experience of this kind of thing. But he has got a bit of a network, so it's going to be interesting to see how he uses that. Maybe if he brings some players in from Japan, maybe he brings in some Aussie players, or he just dips into Europe based on what his scouts are recommending him. It's going to be really interesting to see, and really interesting to see where that takes him as well.
Yeah, is he good at identifying players and stuff, Harper?
Yeah, he unearthed a few gems in his time. There have been some players at Melbourne Victory who he unearthed. You wouldn't have heard of any of the names, but so I won't dish him off. But he unearthed a couple at Brisbane as well. Blooded new talent in the Socceroos, some of which is still playing now. What, 7-8 years later from when he started at the Socceroos. So Yokohama F. Marinos, he would have brought in some new players. I'm not as familiar with those guys as the A-League and the Socceroos, but I know that he definitely did identify talent, and that took him to a title in Japan, which was unforeseen for Yokohama, really. I would say, though, it's more and more in football nowadays, you guys would know this, it's not the job of the manager as much as it used to be to identify players. It can be a director of football thing. That can be the thing for the chief scout and the scouts below the chief scout. So he might sign off on them and tick them off and grant the seal of approval, but he's not going to be the one that's going to every game in the Dutch second division to scout out this new young talent, you know?
Yeah.
Because I think that's something we've lacked in it, Robert. I've only had the odd gem here and there the last few years, but under Neil Lennon's first spell, we had a few good gems, Harper, like Kayal and Hooper and stuff like that, Wanyama. But we've kind of lacked that kind of pronouns for a player since John Part left, the old scout. Do you think that's maybe something that, as you mentioned there, that he could bring in, he could get these wee gems, maybe it is from his team in Japan or to Australia, who maybe we don't know about, and it could come here and surprise a lot of people?
Yeah, look, like I said, the Japanese league is one I'm not familiar familiar with as much as I'd like to be. So there'll be players there that would love to play for Celtic. I'm not sure if they're up to the quality of a team that's set like Celtic demands. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to compare that kind of thing, you know, but there are a few Aussies that I think might be on his mind, possibly, potentially. There's a bit of an up-and-comer in their Socceroos ranks who wasn't there in his time, but he goes by the name of Aydın Hrustić, a bit of a tongue twister, a bit of a tough one to pronounce, but Aydın Hrustić, he plays for Frankfurt in the Bundesliga. He just signed a new contract with them. It might be hard to prize him away, but he's a bit of an attacking midfielder type, really good on set pieces, not afraid to have a shot from distance, scored a free kick for the Socceroos the other day, actually can play anywhere in attacking midfield, really, left, right, centre. He might be one on Ange's mind. Another one, I'm not sure what the need is for a goalkeeper at Celtic at the moment, but something that I thought about could be a potential one is Matt Ryan. that, of course, played for Arsenal last season on loan from Brighton. His contract is up at Brighton at the end of this season. So if he doesn't renew his loan for Arsenal, Celtic could be a one that he goes to. He's an Australian who's worked under Ange previously. He's almost the prototypical Ange Postecoglou goalkeeper, good with his feet, sweeper keeper type player, comes up really far off his line when the team's on the attack. Distribution may be something to work on for Matt Ryan, but he could be another one. And a final one that could be a potential type of new signing. I know you've lost Scott Brown, who's hustle bustle, bit of a combative type player. Another Aussie is Jackson Irvine. I'm not sure he's up to the level of Celtic. He was at Celtic's youth academy. I think he had one appearance for the senior team. He plays for Hibs at the moment. He's a combative midfielder type guy, good in the air, good in the tackle, hard in the challenge. I think he's 6'3", something like that, 6'2", 6'4", maybe, about 190 centimetres, tall guy, strong in the challenge, like I said. So he's another one. But obviously there's this...
Back to Jackson Irvine, but he's not good enough for Celtic. He was at Celtic, yeah. For you. He was okay. I watched him. He actually got man of the match, I think. We played Liverpool in a pre-season friendly over in Dublin. And Gerrard, that was playing, and he was good that day. And big, we beat them 1-0. I mean, it was like a reserve team Celtic put out. Brendan Rodgers was actually the manager of Liverpool at the time. But he never just hit the level that he was needed at Celtic. And I think that's why he's ended up at Hibs. You know what I mean? I'm not saying the guy, but you need to be a bit more better to be at Celtic.
I agree with you 100% there. I'm not sure he's up to the level of being a key contributor in the first team. But yeah. that pre-season friendly was quite a few years ago now. He's changed as a player since then. I'm not saying at all that he... should be a person Celtic be signing, but it's just a potential one that might cross Ange's mind at some point.
Yeah, but when it comes to the goalkeeper, he's been rumoured in the papers and stuff over here, Harper. But I think when most players who are played under managers, they always get linked into Robert. Doesn't matter who they are, they always get linked, and we've always been linked with Irish players and players who have played down south who are Irish and stuff. So, but I think that the guy, Matt Ryan, if he has a free transfer, again, he's played at the highest level in the Premier League, he's played the highest level internationally. So a free transfer, when he really says it's a gamble, it's more a solid option than it would be spending £7-8 million a goalkeeper.
Yep, definitely, Ryan. I think that's a position we really need to strengthen, in my own opinion.
I think, aye. Definitely. I know we've signed Barkas last year. It's not worked out as yet, but I'm still wanting to give him a bit of time. But I think the goalkeeping situation, Harper, like you say, is Matt Ryan, could be somebody that we bring in, especially he's worked under Ange before, so it could be a position to fill with Matt Ryan, and he's a free transfer, so it won't be as much money as it would be paying for a transfer fee.
Yeah, exactly right. And it's almost... kind of the perfect time to sign him. He's out of contract, free transfer potentially. I've got no doubt that if Arsenal don't want to keep Matt Ryan on, then Matt Ryan will be thinking, geez, this is the perfect opportunity to go to Celtic. If Ange wants him is the big question, really. He's played under Ange before, like I said, but Ange might see someone even better that's on his radar, because when Matt Ryan was at the Socceroos, it's not like he didn't have too many other options, really, because you can only play Australian players, obviously. But there's this massive market for Ange to explore, being at a massive club with a decent-sized budget like Celtic. So he could go for another keeper, but Matt Ryan is definitely an option that I'd say would be on his radar.
Because I think it's a position where we need to cover. We've got three goalkeepers now, but we've not really got a number one yet, Robert Hintman. We've not a solid number one since Bill Foster, obviously, but we need a solid number one this season, because, you know yourself, Robert, our goalkeepers are a big, big part of the team. And the last season defensive record, it wasn't very good. And let's be fair, we can't have that again this season.
No, I think we lost 46% of our goals for cross balls. I was telling Harper off air about it, how bad we were defensively. And I was saying to Harper, well, Ange came in and he says he reckons Ange will bring a defensive coach with him to obviously work on the defence and that side of it.
But that should be something I think should be happening, in my opinion, because obviously we've got John Kennedy here, Harper. Again, he's a coach, but people were saying that he was a defensive coach. We don't know if that's true, right? But whoever was working defensively with your team, for me, they didn't do enough because it was the same goals every week. It was the same mistakes. It was the same players. And for me, I think when Ange does come in, that was something that we'll need to identify quite quick because scoring goals were okay. Creating chances were okay. It's just, it has been a bit more clinical, but the defensive area is the area for me that we need to work on very, very much so because in the day, if you can see goals, you're not going to win games.
Yeah, well, this is almost certainly going to anger a few Celtic fans, but there have been a few rumours flying around. I don't know how credible these are. I don't know if this is going to happen, but Kevin Muscat, ex-Rangers player, and he was Ange's assistant at Melbourne Victory and his successor as the head coach, as the manager. There have been rumours that Kevin Muscat will join Ange in Glasgow as an assistant, which will be so controversial. It's only going to heap more pressure on Ange bringing in a former Rangers guy. It's, you guys know the culture there. It's like forbidden to do that kind of thing. That will spark mass outrage. I don't know if it's going to happen. It'll be really interesting if it does to see the anger, the vitriol that's going to come. But yeah, like you said, the defensive style of his play, he's an attacking manager first and foremost. He's set in this attacking way of playing that he's not going to stop. He's not going to give up this attacking way of playing. So obviously that comes at a cost of leaking a few goals potentially because you can't really have the best of both worlds in that situation. I think most of the goals in Ange teams have come off counterattacks because the teams press so high and with kind of such a vigour that they can get exposed at the back if the defence isn't quick enough to retreat. And I was telling Robert off air as well, in his time at Yokohama, it happened twice in a game and a few other occasions as well. This philosophy is his takes a while to bed in, especially at Yokohama it did. So at times we saw the keeper come so far off his line, almost at the halfway line, maybe even further across the halfway line. We saw the keeper getting lobbed from the other half of the pitch and getting beaten. So that's going to be, it's not something that's going to consistently happen every single game, but that's a bit of a weakness in his game, the counter-attacking vulnerability, I suppose.
So basically, Robert, what I get from Harper saying is he likes to play for the back, but he likes his goalkeeper to play like a sweeper, basically. And for me, I don't mind that, but if he's going to have the game, I think there'll be a few heart attacks next season.
Definitely, Ryan. I like the sweeper keeper, but I think you've got to be something special, like a Manuel Neuer type of guy, to be that good, to be doing the sweeper keeper. Even he makes mistakes, and it's great to watch, but I think you really need a good shortstopper as well. I think that's what we lacked last season, Ryan. Nobody really was great at saving shots, was they? We never had a good shortstopper or a commanding goalkeeper, and I think that is definitely a key area that I would like to see us identify and get at. If it needs to be 6-7 million for us to buy a goalkeeper, then so be it. But that's where our starting point, that and a centre-half. And then I think you can tweak run about the team. But we really, really identify players run about the areas. And I'm just hoping, whether it be Ange's scout network or whether it be Celtic's scout network, they're out there identifying the players that we need. Because, as you say, Ryan, going forward, we're not bad. Half decent, but defensively we're really, really poor. Goalkeeping and defence, that's what needs to be obviously identified and sorted.
Yeah, definitely. Defensively we're very poor. Because obviously Ayer's meant to be going Jack Hendry's leaving supposedly as well. So Duffy's away. So you're really only left with Stephen Welsh and Julian's that's still injured. So when it comes to defensive Harper, he will have to bring in maybe three or four defenders because we're losing a lot of players away who were on loan spells last season. Laxalt's away, Frimpong's right. away, Elhammond's away, Bolingoli's come back, but don't know if he's going to go. So he has, I would say defensively, it's maybe his biggest area that he might need to work on, the goalkeeping and the back four, because we didn't really have a back four last season with injuries, with suspensions, with loan players coming in and out, players getting sold, players not good enough. So for me, he's got his work cut out this season when it comes to defensively, and I just hope that he is acting quite quick because it will take time to get that sorted.
Yeah, look, it's going to be tricky because this summer in Europe is the Euros are happening, obviously, so it's tougher to sign players that are away on international duty in that kind of situation. I think another big priority for him will be the fullbacks. His fullbacks in Postecoglou teams are very, very attacking and sometimes can be the cause of conceded goals because they just bomb up the field, and he demands a high work rate from all his players, and especially the fullbacks. Like I said in that Ryan McGowan example, the fullbacks attacking from the off, really. And the defenders, he wants them to be ball-playing defenders, good with their feet, obviously be able to retreat in defence quickly to stop these kind of counter-attacks. And hopefully he gets the backing of the board to sign the players he wants, because I would be very surprised if he signs the players that he wants to sign, he will bring success to Celtic Football Club.
I think that's the thing, Robert, isn't it? That he has to have the say at Everton. But I think he wouldn't come here without that, just by going by his demeanour, the way people are speaking about him, that he's ruthless and he's not a yes man. I don't think he would come here. Again, well, I'm just talking maybe for a positive aspect. I hope he doesn't come here and just take whoever it is that's from him. But I do believe that he's got to have, as you say, his own backroom staff. He's got to have the say in the players. He's got to have the say in the scouting network, because if he doesn't, it's just going to lead the same way it happened to Rodgers and Lennon, that it's going to end disaster, and the board will always have the say if that's the case. And we've got to try and get away from that, because if the board keep having the say, it's never going to move on for this model that we've got.
Don McKay has meant to be coming in to change all that, Ryan. Only for the start of the season and the signings and obviously the backroom team that Big Ange is bringing with him, that will tell you whether he's just coming in just to replicate Lawwell or he's going to do things his own way. That will start to tell what's happening at Celtic. You'll know within a few months whether he's just in to just really take over what Lawwell's doing and just same model, same everything, or whether Don McKay will have his say and start to move things and change things different. So that's the only way we're going to find that out in the next few months, mate.
I'd like to think that is the case, because it's got to happen, in my opinion. There's been too many things behind the scenes that have not went right, and I think behind the scenes, Harper, at Celtic at the moment, it's got to get right, and I just hope that they've got this right with Ange. Obviously, he's managed in Japan and stuff, and he's won a few trophies, and he's always kind of improved the teams he's played for. Managed. He's obviously got that winning mentality of winning trophies and improving players. And for me, that's only going to be a good thing for us, because that's the mentality we need at Celtic.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think that is in contrast to a manager like Eddie Howe, who was the top priority and the manager that fans were begging to have, really, and were so thoroughly disappointed when you didn't get Eddie Howe. But the biggest club that Eddie Howe has managed has been Bournemouth. They've always been a kind of little fish in a big pond, you know. Their stadium fits 12,000 people, I think. But Ange has managed big clubs. He's managed Melbourne Victory, the biggest club in Australia, arguably, and Yokohama, who are a very well-supported club. And Australia, obviously, that's a kind of high pressure environment, not as high pressure as Celtic, of course, but still a high pressure environment. And I really I think he, like you said, he wouldn't have taken the job if he didn't have assurances from the board that he would be able to implement his own style and his own philosophy. And I think, in a way, this could sound really controversial and spark a bit of debate and outrage, maybe. But if, unless it's a disaster of the season, Celtic is going to be in the title race or leading the title race easily with 3 or 4 games to go, unless it's a complete disaster, shambles of a season. So I think if you end up losing the title by 3 points, 2 points, something like that, there might be a view within the boardroom that there's almost no point in sacking this guy because we know that the best is yet to come, because he traditionally sometimes takes a while to implement his style of play. So, like, if the first title is already gone, we might as well keep him on for the second season, because we're probably not only going to win the title, we are going to go to an absolute another level, which some Celtic hasn't seen in years, if we keep him on for as long as we can. Hopefully that happens.
Because that's something that, again, I don't know if he'll get time here. Because obviously, if we win the league this season, we get automatic Champions League group stages, which is massive here. I don't know if you know the full financial scale with the Champions League, but to Celtic, it's
huge.
It's like a guaranteed 30, 40 million. And that would put us probably another 2 or 3 years ahead of Rangers financially again. So ideally, we wanted a 10 last season, but in a financial thing, losing the league this year, as catastrophic, Robert, it's just, it's something I don't want to think of, because if they're going to get 30, 40 million next season to win the league, they're going to get better players, they're going to sell more players for money because players are wanting to come in. It's something I don't want to think of. I do believe that we're going to start. I still believe the squad we had last season was good enough. Just things have happened behind the scenes, and again, the pressure, the 10 in a row, it's obviously caught up in the players. But I don't know if we'll get the time here again, but I do believe what Harper says, that if it hasn't been 1 point, you go, right, they've gave it a go, 1 point, one goal, whatever, right, you can hack that. But if it's the same as this season, there's not a chance you'll be there next season.
There's, in my own opinion, this is bigger than the 10. People say, oh no, you're talking crap. The 10 was so important to Celtic fans worldwide, but as you say, Ryan, if we win the league this year coming, we can put Rangers back 2 or 3 years. You know what I mean? Like, financially, and put us 2 or 3 years in front. That's the difference. And to say this league title now is worth £40 million, it's not worth £3.5 million. Mm-hmm. That's what next title is worth. And financial side there, I'd rather have £40 million in the bank than the 10. I know that sounds ridiculous. We'd have all loved the 10. We now need to move on for it. People say, we wanted the 10. But if we won the 10, just say, for instance, and we got 3.5 million and Rangers went and won the league this year, they would actually go so far in front of you, and you could probably go far behind. So to me, personally, I'd have loved the 10. It's gone now. That's it. We got 4 quadruple tables. I'd have rather had that than the 10, in my own opinion. And now this is more important than the 10 because it's the financial gain that's off it.
Oh, it's massively important. That's why I think Harper, that he's got to come in and hit the ground running, and I don't think he'll get time here. Maybe especially the first few weeks, if there's not really any signings, the fans will go, so what's happening here? Who's signing players? When's the players coming in? That's just the way it is up here. The fans are very, how do I say, ratty, should I say? They're very angry because we're used to success. Last season was a very, very, it's a sour taste in most fans' mouths. I don't know how it was around the world, either Australia, New Zealand or whatever. I don't know how they heard of the news back here, but if Ange does come in and do what I think he might do, he's only going to be a legend here at Celtic, because if he does come in and implement that style and he does get the league next season, the fans will love him right away, because after what happened last season, it's only going to help him going forward if he does win the league next season.
Yeah, and wherever he's gone, basically, again, different environments to Celtic, pressure, nothing like it. But he's been viewed as, dare I say, a bit of a messiah wherever he's gone. Like, just he is universally adored by all his fans. The Yokohama fans love him. They like we're so affectionate about him and completely cherished him. And he, like you said, he could become a legend at Celtic if he gets off to that good start. And that is a big question. If he doesn't see the squad as up to scratch, which I think will happen, there's no doubt that he will be making wholesale changes. He'll be making big signings. Not necessarily big in kind of big names, big expenditure, but he'll be making lots of signings and doing this rebuilding job like he has everywhere else. He'll gut the joint, really. He'll gut the place and kind of rip it up and start again. He's not afraid to do that kind of thing. But like I said, if he gets off to that good start, wins the title in his first season, I've got really hardly any doubt that he is going to become an icon in Celtic and Scottish football.
Because there's a lot of people, Robert, that were talking about this 12-month-long contract thing that Celtic have given. People need to realise Celtic have gave their own contracts to basically every single manager. That's the way Celtic work. They gave it to O'Neill. They gave it to Rodgers when they first came in. And then Rodgers came in and obviously signed a 3 or 4 year deal because obviously they wanted to, let's be honest, it was the 10 in a row, that was what it was to me, that's what it seemed like. It was the first manager to kind of break that mould. And so for me, the 12 month long contract means absolutely nothing because that's the way Celtic work.
Obviously the club assess each other whether the two of them like it. So to me, a 12 month long contract isn't a bad thing.
I don't think it is. It's definitely something for me that doesn't bother me because it's been Celtic's model. Obviously, Harper, he's been managing in Japan. I know his team had a bit of a bad defeat the other day for a kind of a lower league team and stuff. And a lot of people jumped on that back here saying, oh, he's been beat by this and it's not a good look for him and stuff. But I'm like, well, up here, Celtic beat off Ross County, Celtic beat off lower teams before, it's happened here before, cup games, that can happen. So for me, that's not a big, it's not a big thing for me that he's lost that because I think he was already set to start coming here. So I don't think it really bothered him as a manager that happened because he knew he was coming here anyway.
Yeah, and as well, that team's called Honda FC, I believe. It's in the Emperor's Cup, which is basically the version, the Japanese equivalent of the League Cup over there. And Honda FC, they're a fourth division team. They're an amateur team, but they are an amateur team who basically refuses to go professional. They're the biggest amateur team in the country by a mile. They'd probably be up close to, if not in the top division, if they wanted to become professional, but they don't. And Ange fielded a second string team, basically. They lost on penalties. Obviously, it's a result that he won't be pleased with, a result that the fans won't be pleased with. But I think you have to kind of know the context of it. Despite it being disappointment, you have to know the context of it before you make kind of rash judgments about it, albeit it is a disappointing result.
Yeah, definitely. I read that when you were saying about a certain team and the players out and stuff like that. So it just shows you, Robert, how much people jump on stuff back here as well. As soon as something happens, if it's a result or a player, they're right on people's back. And again, we all know it was a lot of Rangers fans that were talking about it, saying, oh, he's lost a lower league team and he's going to come here. He's got to be El Pedro Caixinha. For me, I don't think he's got to be like that at all. As Harper says, he's been a success everywhere he's went. He managed a very average Australia team and got them playing good football and good toe-to-toe with the top nations. So I'm not really worried at all about him, mate. As we all know, every appointment's a gamble, but I do think by his attack and play and just the way he's been speaking, the way he's took over teams, I'm all a bit excited. Just it's a new era, and it's just something to look forward to in the new season.
Brendan Rodgers lost his first game to Lincoln Red Imps in a Champions League qualifier, if you remember, Ryan. Mm-hmm. Sometimes freak results do happen, and as you said, he had a second string out. He knew he was leaving. He was going to Celtic. I don't think, no saying he wasn't wanting to win the game. Obviously he was, but I think his mind was somewhere else at the particular point. It was obviously a new challenge. So obviously been speaking to Celtic and stuff like that. So he's not really had the time probably to prepare for the team for the game as much as he would have liked. He's probably thoughts were elsewhere, as I say, into the new Celtic job. I'm not really bothered about that. It's what he does at Celtic that bothers me. That's what matters to me.
Yeah, definitely. Officer Harper, the last bit on Celtic, then we'll talk about your own podcast. What is your kind of your low down feelings on how do you think he'll do here?
To be honest, it's like I said before, it's all about the start that he has to the season. In Australia, it is an overwhelming sense of excitement because it is one of the biggest moves in Australian football history, and easily the biggest managerial move in Australian football history. It's a move that Australians feel that is deserved, and it's been a long time coming, really. People kind of expected him to go to Europe at some point, not necessarily a club the size of Celtic, but, yeah, people are really excited about it. I'm really excited about it myself, and Celtic will be having 25 million more supporters when Ange's at the club, because all the Australians are going to get behind this guy and the club, because, like I said, a bit of a messiah figure here, one of the greatest sporting minds in Australian history, not just one of the greatest football minds, one of the greatest sporting minds. He is just seen as a genius. And in terms of prediction, in terms of how it'll go, I think maybe this is my heart saying this over my head because I want him to do well. I think he will do well. I think he will come close to winning, if not win the title in his first season, which is the minimum expectation, of course. And then I think eventually when Celtic are playing Champions League, if Angie's still around at that time, I think he will be making knockout stages if he's there for long enough, and taking it Bayern Munich and PSG, big teams, they'll be going toe-to-toe with them, maybe not winning, but certainly not parking the bus, not playing a Jose Mourinho-type football, and it'll be exciting. Exciting, free-flowing, beautiful football, and it's you'll have an identity, really. You'll have an identity as this attacking brand of football, and that's something that I'm excited to see, and lots of Celtics fans will be excited to see when they actually realise what this guy's all about.
Hey, Robert, I've decided that's us winning Champions League. That's us winning it. It's coming home.
You better get your check, man.
I know. I better get my flights looked at for Baku in 4 years' time. Obviously, Harper, you've got your own podcast where they begin batting Australia. How, obviously, we've spoke before, it was lockdown, you kind of started it and stuff. I know you've interviewed Scott McDonald and some Olympic athletes. How did you get involved in that, and how's it going for you so far?
Yeah, so I was in my final year of secondary school, high school, last year in the midst of lockdown in about March, and asked my mate if he would be keen to start a podcast, because my dream was to be a sports journalist, sports broadcaster type of thing, and saw that as a good way to get started. Got some big interviews in terms of Australian rules football and association football, soccer, whatever you want to call it. It's just been an absolute thrill doing it, been doing it for about 14, 15 months now. And I've now working for a sports journalism website called Kick360. So that's kick360.com.au. Done a few pieces for them. Freelanced at a few other places as well. But where do we begin? The name of the podcast. It's taken up most of my time, but it's something that I'm really passionate about. I really love doing it. It's been a blast, really, all the way through.
But it's always good, Robert, isn't it, to interview people like we've done, like guys who you look up to, your heroes and stuff, and for Harper, because I obviously done Scott McDonald, that must be a thrill for him. Obviously, he's from Australia, and it must be a thrill to interview heroes. And for me, sometimes you've got to kind of, I know it's only a podcast, but you've got to step back and think, I'm actually interviewing a guy who I've grew up watching. And for me, that's something, it makes your podcast a bit special when it's your podcast and you're able to do that.
Yeah, it's really good. Ryan, obviously I didn't know Harper had interviewed Scott McDonald. That must have been really good for him. I think it just gives you an idea that you must be doing something right if these guys are willing to come on your podcast. And it gives you, obviously, a drive then to push on to hopefully get somebody else on, bigger and better for the next ones. And obviously, that you're obviously getting an audience there as well, that people are listening to what you're doing. So it's a bit of self-satisfaction. In my own opinion, and yourselves, Ryan, that obviously when we get people on and people say, oh, we really enjoyed that, then you go, right, that's good. At least we know we're on the right path.
No, I think that's definitely something about podcasting and a half of it. If you keep getting a wee bit of feedback, it might only be small feedback, but at least you know you're progressing yourself and you know you're doing the right things, as Robert says.
Certainly. Yeah, and we've received lots of good feedback from guests. We really try to make sure that guests enjoy themselves, had a bit of fun while kind of diving deep into their lives and their lives and their careers. We do like to have a bit of a fun. We've got a bit of a quiz segment, which is a lot of fun at the end of every show, which is a good time. And doing this Olympic series recently, we've been interviewing Australian athletes heading to Tokyo next month about really what they're doing, what their sport is. We've had a whole range of sports, which is really interesting. It's been interesting to get to know about Taekwondo and slalom canoeing and yeah, all kinds of different things. It's, yeah, it's great. And I've really, I'm still pinching myself that I'm interviewing some of these names, because 15 months ago, I would have never seen something like this being in my life.
Yeah, that's similar to me and Robert. Some of the guys we've done some actors and some kind of well-known players and stuff. And for me and Robert, we've only been doing this for like a year now as well. So it's something you did take satisfaction that just interview these guys for them to say yes and come on. And you've interviewed athletes and now we're doing a podcast with Robert, so it's big time.
Yeah, I appreciate the kind words, guys. Yeah, like I said, it's a big thrill doing it, and it's an honor to have all these people on the show. And you realize that kind of, although they are these superstars, everyone's just a person really, and they're down to earth, and they're willing to talk to you. They're just like an everyday person with a kind of extraordinary job, and they're a bit more famous than everyone else. But yeah, it's just great to speak to people like them.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, Robert, the last wee bit on obviously Harper and Ange, it's just been good to kind of get a bit of lowdown off Harper, because as we've said, we don't really know much about him. Your last thoughts on Ange, Robert, which your kind of take on obviously what Harper said about him and your own opinion?
I'm just hoping the guy comes in, as Harper says, if he hits the ground running, gets the signings that he would like for his style of play, then I don't see why he can't be a success. I think we're wanting to go in a new direction, and with Ange, it's looking like that's the direction we're going to go in. So he's got my full backing. I'd just like to thank Harper for coming on, and I think he's gave us a good insight into what sort of style he plays and what sort of character he is. And I hope he's got all success with his podcasting.
No, definitely, Robert. I echo what you've said. Harper, we really appreciate you coming on and giving us a lowdown on Ange and your own podcast as well. Hope you can kind of fire away with it, keep getting good interviews, and hopefully see you stardom soon, mate, with the rest is.
Yeah, I really appreciate you guys having me on the show. It's been, yeah, a pleasure, really. It's gone better than I ever would have expected to go. You guys run a great show, and I'll make sure to give it a plug, tell all my mates about it, because you guys really run a tight ship here, and it's really good listening and good viewing on the YouTube channel. And, yeah, keep up the great work, guys. It's been a pleasure being on the show. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Harper. And, again, mate, keep safe, keep well, and hopefully we'll get you back on again soon, mate. Take care.
No worries at all. Thanks, Matt.
Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.